of Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior, the name above every other name, the name by which we are saved. Yes, I greet you again amidst a world in turmoil, amidst a world that is struggling to find its way because there is no way without Christ. Yes, you know what? The irony is, for those of us that are in the light, that see Him, that know Him, it makes sense. Things make sense. Life makes sense. It gets clearer and clearer. The reason that we've gone through the things that we've gone through, we understand it a lot more, for one. I mean, for myself, looking back on struggles that I've been through in my life, I definitely see the truth and the reality of Scripture in Romans 8:28, that God does certainly cause all things to work together for the good of the called according to His purpose. So, you know, I despite the difficulties we face, when you go through them in Christ Jesus, when you look back, you wouldn't trade it. And, you know, I think for myself, I look back on so many areas that were hard, that were really, really hard. But, you know, in the end, I'm really not much worse for the wear and tear. And I have a lot more fulfilled of a life at this stage. And Jesus, you know, He talked about, He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly in John chapter 10. Whereas the world just kind of exists and they just sort of scrape by. They're just sort of there, dying, living lives of quiet desperation, trying to be something in the eyes of others, hoping that by that pursuit and by that approval maybe of somebody else, that maybe their life will have some significance, some meaning, some value. Because they know that their system has zero, but, you know, in the end, it is a choice. And there's choice exercise in all this stuff. And if somebody, you know, refuses to continue on and they just want truth. You know, if you seek truth, you're going to find it. If you want Him, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, if you're seeking truth, if you're seeking the way, if you're seeking what is life, you're going to run into Jesus, because that's who He is. But if you don't want that, well, you'll find something else. And usually when you find something else, you're going to also find other people that will tell you that which you're pursuing is okay. That which you're pursuing is worth pursuing. That which you're pursuing is legitimate, is worth your life, your time, your investment, your consciousness, your anxiety, your resources, your heart, and your mind. But the problem is truth is not contingent on a majority opinion. Truth does not depend on the majority. Truth does not depend on legislation. Truth does not depend on anything of man. Truth is true. It is universal. It is God. So with Him, the thing is that you can say whatever you want, but in the end, it is what it is. And I think the world really has a hard time with that, because the world wants all things to be malleable. The world wants all things to be able to be transformed into their image and into their likeness. They want to be able to manipulate it just like they do men. They want to be able to control it just like they do men. And so that darkness works very hard to block out the light, to block out the truth, if they could get into your head and legislate your thoughts, control your thoughts, they would. Absolutely. Oh, that's the That's the final frontier for them, is to just be able to just get right in there and own that. But alas, God will protect his own, and God finds the way to get his truth out there. Even with what do we do here, it's pretty cool actually for me. I don't check that often, you know, kind of stats and all of that. But occasionally, like, I feel like I just need to get an idea of kind of how people are using this. You know, if we can, because we do all things as unto the Lord. So if we can improve something, if we can make it work a little better, we definitely will try. You know, so that does require a little bit of information sometimes. But just seeing, you know, how there's a lot of you guys that are using this. There's an increasing amount of you too. Because you know what? I think too, there's a lot of people that would want, if you want it, you're gonna find a place for it, and you're gonna know when something is not true. So, you know, like when you've sat in those dead, quote-unquote, I wish I didn't have to call them churches, but the only reason I would use that language is because for the sake of shared understanding, because a lot of people, you know, that's how they refer to it. They've taken over a word that was never meant for that. Church is not a place you go. Church is who you are. As a follower of Christ Jesus, you are part of the church of the living God, the real one. But they've taken that, stolen that, because a thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And so they've stolen I don't give it to them, actually, because I would say that, hey, this is church. This is much more church than what they have on a Sunday. Why? Because this is one seeking and expressing truth, two, led by the Spirit of God and not by the premonitions and agendas of man. Three, God is in this. So, yeah. And it's built on the foundation, which is the reality of who Christ Jesus is. As Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. What is that? The revelation of who it is that he is. That's given by God. And so that is the foundation that we move on, we build on. One man plants, another man waters, but God causes it to grow, even as God causes this work to grow, even as God causes your life to grow and my life to grow, as we are grounded and rooted in him. In him we live and move and have our being. In him there is no shadow. There is no darkness. It's all him. So yes, but gosh, you know, when you want truth, you're gonna look for it. You're gonna seek it. And if you don't find it in the quote unquote churches, you keep looking. But if you and people, you know, in the past, people's searches took them all over the place. They would go to India. I've been to India. I've been to India under a different context than most people would go, but several times actually. But people will search for it wherever it is that they think it might be. And you know, actually, this satanic setup is it's pretty okay. If you just step away from it, from sort of like, if you can get past the shock value that which is presented as truth is a lie, that those that should be the protectors are really wolves in sheep's clothing and some of the most dangerous people that you can be around. Hence the recent lawsuit settlement by the Jesuit priests to a bunch of reservation people on a reservation that the Jesuit priests were dumping pedophiles that were molesting kids. Yeah, you know what I tell people too, if you're going to go on Sunday, don't send your kids off to Sunday school. Just word of caution, word of advice, you're going to spend a lot of time in counseling sessions later on. Oh, somebody gets mad at that statement? Well, okay, well, look at the headlines. It's popping up everywhere these days. And I know from my time working with the churches that most of the guys in leadership in a number of these situations were part and parcel of a criminal element in one way, shape, or form. Either fraudulent business practices, sexual deviance, you know, just you go down a list, they had something had a hold on their lives. And yet they wore a nice collar and they sat up on a stage on Sundays. Yeah, so you know what? And these were not people in the process of getting their lives cleaned up before God. No, these are people that have institutionalized their carnal flesh, just their whole thing. They've institutionalized it. And what happens is when you come and you're part of that system, when you become part of it, what they tell you is come under the covering. Come under the covering. You need to be under you need to become part of it. They push for that very hard. But to come under the covering, ultimately what that means is to you're now covered for by them. They cover for you. You become part of that. You cover for them. And so, you know, if it was not in a number of cases that I know of, a couple I'm thinking of in particular, if it was not for law enforcement being the ones that actually cracked down and found some of these priests, quote unquote, pastors, heads of the denominations, for engaging in child, what was the one with the Assemblies of God in Sri Lanka? Pastor Johan, who was busted for prior to a, what was it? He thought he had booked a 14-year-old through some internet porno site and it turned out that the cops had set up a sting, and so he thought he was getting a 14-year-old boy. Oh, and this was incidentally, he was going to meet up with this kid for sex prior to doing a wedding later in the evening. So came down from the church in the because he's the head of the denomination up in the hill countries, and so he came down earlier in the day to get his freak on, and then after that go do a wedding. Yeah, how would you like to be the people getting married by that guy? So anyways, but yes, no, this was all in the news. This was all brought out in the open. And you know what's funny is, like, then in those situations, people are like, oh, our church is under attack, or we need to pray. What do you mean you need to pray? The devil didn't do that. God did that. God exposed what was going on. And look, just the whole thing needs to be scrapped. It would be so good if these guys would just repent and all get right. It would be so good if they just chose not to try to lord over other people. But you know what? I think the people themselves want to be slaves. They want that. They desire to have others enslave them. They don't want to be free. You know, that slave mentality, once it's been bred into you, unless you're marked by God for Him, you people want to continue on in that. Can we just deal with the facts of the matter that your kids aren't safe when you take them to these places? I mean, look, the BBC is saying it. I'm not the first one to say this. These are, you know, lawsuits in progress that are saying these things. So, hey, don't get mad at me. Just, you know, I'm just airing it out there, just putting it out in the light. Let's perhaps deal with this stuff. But, you know, nobody wants to deal with any of the issues. The ultimate issue is, who do you follow? Do you follow Christ? Do you follow truth? Will you deal with that which is at hand? Or are you following the world? Are you institutionalizing your deception and your perversion and bottling everybody up inside of this big fat cesspool? Yeah, for me, no thanks. You guys keep your thing. I'll just follow Jesus, and let's see how things work out in the end. Thank you very much. I you know what? It is so good to be free. It is so good to walk with Christ. It is so good when you realize what it is and what it is not. And once you realize what it is not, hey, look, I don't apologize for being free in Christ. I don't apologize for living an authentic life, for living a real life in Him. I don't apologize at all for His blessing upon my life and the way that He takes care of and watches over me and the way that He uses the life that's been given over to Him 100%. I do not apologize for the different ways that that manifests. I know that the church people have huge issues with the fact that there's certain things that God has me to do. But you know what? Some of those things too, like as far as just like the kind of work and stuff like that that comes up, hey, I think some of that God opens up just to mess with them. You know, I was one time, there's a guy that was talking about when Jesus healed a man at the pool. And he tells him to take up your mat and walk. And this guy was, you know, somebody that had done a lot of study on this stuff. And he said, you know, the only reason that he could find that Jesus would have given this guy this instruction was just to mess with the Pharisees. He said, there's no other reason. Because they had created a culture and a custom and an expectation that you would do certain things and that you would not do certain things that had zero basis in the commandments of God and who He was and what He was expecting of His people. But they had created a man-made system that everybody now abided by. Nobody questioned. Nobody did anything different than that for fear of what the repercussions would be by society, by the collective. They didn't want to break that norm. And so the problem was that, so here Jesus shows up and turns it upside down, questions it with power, questions it with the reality of the life that He lived that they could not deal with. So much so that they got to the point that they were just seething in their own manifestations of their participation in the demonic and saying, okay, we need to kill this guy. I mean, the insanity of it, you know, when you really think about it, that here's your religious leaders of the day and their solution to keeping their position and their power and their control over the people is, their solution in their mind is, let's kill this guy who's done what? What has his crime been? The only thing that he has done is told people the truth, healed people, restored them, given them hope, and yeah, this is the guy you want to kill. Oh, wow. But you know what? Not a lot has changed. And, you know, Jesus, you know, He talked about the blood of the prophets and all that had gone before Him. And Yeah. I mean, he according to the will and plan of God, went through for us, for our redemption. I mean, there's so much that, I mean, it's just amazing to me. You know, when I see how God's hand has worked in all of these things, just to bring it to the point where you and I can have a direct connection with our Father, with our Creator, with our Savior, that we have zero separation between us and God, that you and I can this day, right now, at this moment, be brought into a state of oneness with the Spirit of God, where there's zero separation between us and Him, that we are 100% whole in Him, that this is available in Christ Jesus, and that everything in the world would seek to keep you from that, because it knows that if that takes place in your life, if you step into the reality of that, there is, you cannot be held, you cannot be bound, you become dangerous to their system for every day of existence that you are now here in this life. So, of course it makes sense that the world would put so much into mind controlling and into trying to keep you from ever realizing who you are. So, you know what? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You realize who you are in Him, and then you realize, too, nothing can hold you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can keep you back. Just one person that gets it, like Elijah got it, like Daniel got it, like Gideon got it, like you just go down the list, like Moses, like any of these guys. Once one person gets it, that's enough to change a nation, to change a destiny, to change the entire thing. And you know, it is a revelation that comes from God, but there's also an element where you and I have to, of our free will, accept that position, move into it, step into it. You know, Gideon had to accept the fact that he was a mighty warrior. David had to accept the fact that he was God's choice as a king for that nation. So you have to accept and move into the fact of who God says you are, not what the world says you are, not what the world dictates that you should be. You have to accept the fact of who you are in Christ Jesus, what He's intended for you to be, and now step into that and move in that. In Him you live and move and have your being. So as you step into that place, now there's power. Now there's, you are now allowing for that free flow that God intended with you. Because as long as you, if you're a car and you're trying to be a boat, it's not going to work. If you're a car and you believe you're a boat, you believe you're something that you're not. So it's understanding who you are from God's perspective. Understanding your role and your responsibility, your authority, God's plan and purpose for you from God's perspective. You know, when you understand, this is why it's so beautiful to read the Word. When you read the Word, you start to see, and God will speak to you out of that and say, this is you. This is my plan for you. This is my destiny for you. This is my intention for your life. And it doesn't have to be dictated to you by an intermediary. Nobody stands there between you and Him. When you read the Word, He'll show you. He'll say, this is my plan for you. This is what I'm saying to you. You know, there's been so many people that have shown up over the years that have tried to tell me that God is not telling me what it is that He's telling me. Now, the funny thing is that those ones are usually the ones that have not earned a place of authority or spiritual legitimacy in my life. There are those that have definitely earned that spot. They have, there's blood in their footsteps, and they've walked a mile with me. Those guys, sure. Brother, you can talk to me. I'll listen to you. Sister, you can talk to me. I'll listen to you. But there's a lot of them. You're wasting your breath because you haven't earned it. I don't care if you got something on your wall. The spirit, you do not have the legitimacy to speak. So, for those that have earned it, enjoy their company and enjoy that blessing of the fellowship that you have with them, knowing that that which they share with you is a blessing to your soul and coming from the right place, the right heart, right motives. For the rest of them, let them be where they are. Let the dead bury the dead. You carry on with the work of God. You carry on with the will of God. You carry on with God's plan and purpose for you. He knows what He's doing with you. And all things are good in Christ Jesus. All right, hey, love you guys. I'll catch up with you again sometime soon. God bless you. Talk to you later.